This morning, we want to take a little time to think about our loved ones. The names I read a little while ago are names representative of people all across our congregation. Some of them were your fathers and your mothers, your brothers and your sisters. They were your friends. For some of you, you're new, and maybe those names didn't ring a bell, but there's somebody whose name is shouting out loud in your heart this morning, and it may be your mom or your dad. It could be a brother, sister, I don't know. But there's somebody dear to your heart. And I just really felt this morning that as a church, we needed to step back for a little while. And I'm grateful for Pat. And we have such a wonderful staff. This morning, he was going to be preaching and teaching. And I said, Pat, let's wait till the last minute. Of course, you know his heart. He wants to do the same thing. And all of our staff, Charles, all of them, you know they can preach and teach. And I'm just so grateful for these guys. And but it was a time for us to step back this morning as a family and just reflect. And I really believe that, as the psalmist said, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Right, Beth? Where you at? You text me? That passage from Psalm 116. And a reminder that when those who believe in Jesus, when they die, they are immediately taken into the presence of the Lord. And they are with the Lord. If that's not true, then we might as well close up shop. But it's true, and so we're not going to do that. And we're going to celebrate their lives, and we're going to remember them, and we're going to carry their faithfulness and the impact that they had upon our lives. We're going to carry that forward, right? That's what we can do. In a little while, I want you to think about how you might remember a loved one, maybe a friend, somebody impacted your life, but they've gone on to be with the Lord, and the microphones are in the aisle, and I hope that you will just feel a freedom of the Spirit of God to step out and to take a moment and say, even if it's just to call out their name, if that's what you can do this morning is saying, and you just call their name out. I mean, you have hundreds of memories to share. You have a heart that's full of memories, and you think back, particularly at times that you spent together. You know those smells, those, you know, especially when you think about if your mom or dad have passed away. You think about the smells in the kitchen, don't you? Certain things that your mother used to make for you. Those are the things you remember. But maybe just by mentioning their name out loud, that may be the only thing you do this morning, but that's okay. For some of you, this is so raw right now that you just sit there. It's okay. And I mean, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but to see Denise and Justin here this morning in the greens, I mean, they came to their church family this morning, and it was for us to encounter the Lord. I mean, what do you say? They're here strengthening us. They've been pulling us along, haven't they? But you have someone in your heart this morning. And when their name was called out, when they stepped from time into eternity, they heard the voice of their Father, Heavenly Father, call their name. The Bible tells us in Romans, don't chuckle. Romans, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Paul said, I'm persuaded. He didn't work himself up into an emotional frenzy he didn't read 1,000 books to come to this conclusion. He was persuaded. And it wasn't a persuasion that came from within him. It wasn't some type of inner sense or peace or some type of inner power that rose up within him. It was the power of God that was released in him. It was the Lord himself which had persuaded him. When you look technically at what Paul was saying there, he's saying that it was the Lord who persuaded me. I couldn't persuade myself. There wasn't anything in me. When I looked out around me, there were many reasons not to believe it. But the one reason to believe it was that God told me so. He's the one who persuaded me. That nothing could separate us from the love of God. Nothing. When our loved ones who believe in Jesus, when they step from a time into eternity, they are immediately taken into the presence of the Lord. That's what happens when you're a child of God. It would be a tragedy beyond anything that I could ever imagine that you would step from this place into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. This would break the heart of the Lord. It would break the heart of God. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross, that we would believe, that we would come to faith in Him, and that we would see the great love that He demonstrated toward us, and that while we were sinners, He died. It doesn't get any better than that. And so we can be persuaded this morning. Why? Because of what God has done for us. So when you think about your loved one this morning, know this, that they're in the presence of the Lord. Would you just take the time? You can just step up right now, please. Just step up from where you are and step out into the aisle and come to, please, one of the microphones so that we can all hear what you have to say. Okay, Bill.
Richard and Ruby Daniels. Deborah, Renee Daniels. Elvin Christian.
Amen. Amen.
I wept along with Margaret and her family, and I realized that I was weeping as much for myself as I was for her, because I was vicariously living through some of those very things. We've all lost many. I've got a lot of my family there, and so does George. And we're thankful for the promises that are there for us, and we look at it in a very different way the older we get. But I want to talk about Margaret. As young marrieds, we had little children, and we had good times together. And we would visit back and forth, and maybe even on Sunday nights, have cake and coffee. Margaret has always borne good fruit. Always. And I'm seeing the family now with the good fruit, because I do not remember one time when Margaret said, "You know, God's too hard on me, or these things aren't working out right, so I think I'll just leave the faith." No. No matter what the trial was, Margaret grew stronger and stronger, and she represents Him so well. And now the fruit has come forth, and they are representing Him so well. We hurt. We don't say we don't hurt. But the promises are ours. And one day, we're going to understand why things are like they are and why they've been like they have been. But in the meantime, I've seen great, strong characters built and the grace of God displayed in this place. I love this church. And it's the faithfulness of so many of these people that have caused that fruit to come forth. Mm-hmm. And I praise Amen. God for it.
Amen.
I just want to remember Roy Lee Dodson, my brother-in-law Ray Dodson. But I want to just let, I know Martha and them remember that I lost Joey when he was 24 from cancer, and how you just feel like when things like that happen that your life is just not ever going to be good again, because you've been through so much for so many months and it's been so hard. But God is so good, and He helps you to get through that. And you do get back to the point where you can laugh again and you're happy. There's a hole in your heart because you've lost that loved one. But God heals that heart. And there's so many good things ahead. And we have so many good memories. And I just want to tell them that. Thank you.
See. Thank you, Nancy. Yeah. Yeah, go to the microphone, please, if you would.
Yes, many of you knew my dad, knew him well, Glenn Mullinex. And it's just, things happen for a reason. We don't know what that reason is, but the Lord will reveal it to you in time, in His time. We want it in our time, and we don't know what it is. We want to know what it is, but He's going to do it in His time. A lot of things have happened since my dad did pass, and that's been revealed to me. You know, like one thing that just sticks out in my head, me and my little brother, we was close, but now we're even closer. You know, the Lord's brought us closer together. And my mom, I kept hearing her say she was stuck in Georgia for a year without my dad. And now I see why she was stuck in Georgia for a year. Because he was training her, raising her up to be on her own. You know, and there's just other things that's been revealed to me since my dad has passed. Just be patient. And he'll reveal things to you that just open your eyes. Oh, that's the reason why. That's the reason why. Amen. You don't even understand, but you will understand one day. I promise you, you will understand. And I wasn't involved in the church that much. You know, I was a prodigal son. You know, I was raised in this church, and then I got away from the church. I never moved away. I just got away. And then when my dad moved back in 96, he said, I was brought back to bring you back to church. And I honestly believe that. And I mean, I've been involved and just grown more and more each and every day with the Lord. And it just opens my eyes to all these people in the sanctuary. I mean, just that that's going to grow and going to know what the reasons are and why. One day we will all know, believe me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Olga.
3 years ago, we moved back from Bridge City over to this part of the area, and we started visiting First Baptist Crows. This year I've lost my husband, Billy Graham, and I've also lost my mother, Viola Roark. It's been a very difficult year. But I just want to say thank you to this church, because without you, I don't know what I would have done. I'm so thankful to have Joy of Living Bible Study. I was a member, and so was Billy, of the Thursday night Bible study group at the Basses. I have book studies with Beth Landry, and we have Sunday school, and there's just so many opportunities, the prayer group on Mondays and Wednesdays, and there's just so much support from this church, and I just want to thank you.
Amen.
For everything. And I also want to remember my dad, Harvey Roark, and my sister-in-law, Doris Roark.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeah. I had to say goodbye to my mom and dad, Armin and Marie Moon, many years ago. And then another wonderful lady came into my life that took over that role of the motherly figure in my life, Ann Blakely. Then I had to say goodbye to her. And a couple years after that, my sister Diane Mann was taken home. And then last year, I lost my precious little grandbaby, Avery Ann. And I've been struggling the past year with a lot of questions, questioning God and being angry with God. And I just pray to get through this. And I know I just want Justin to know that his words in the care page this week spoke to me so much that Jody faced what she did, and it never got angry. And I need to just turn that over to God. And I just covered your prayers for that, to help me to do that. And I just lift Martha and Jody, Justin and all the family up, because I know what the days ahead will hold. But I do, I can remember the happy moment every time we pass by the church here. from the little car seat in the back, I would hear, Mimi, there's mine and yours church. So I know this is what she wants me here, and to continue to serve him.
Amen. We're a church. We're a family. Amen.
The first time that I became aware of heaven and it became a dear place for me was when my father died in 1956. Before that, I knew about heaven, but it really became a wonderful a memory for me to know that that's where my father was. And he was such a godly man and had an influence on a lot of people, and he died real young. And at the time, I had prayed, for God to heal him. And then when he died, I was so devastated because my prayer didn't get answered. But at the same time, there were so many people that were influenced by him. People got saved. People came back to the Lord. People said, I want to be remembered that way. He was only 48 years old. Then years later, when my mother died in 1995, we were all gathered around her bed at the hospital, and when she took her last breath, Harold said, there goes a prayer warrior. And we knew that we could depend on her to pray for us. So I thought, you know, that makes me the, whatever you call, the oldest one in the family now. So I guess it's going to be my job. And yeah. I was already a prayer, but I just wanted to know that I came to the conclusion that there's always a purpose. I don't know it. He said, God said there were secret things that we wouldn't know.
Right.
But when we got to heaven, then we could find out. Yeah. And I know that many people are influenced by these two people. And I remember one time my mother had such a heart for her grandchildren. And we always said we felt sorry for anybody that got around her because she would talk about her grandchildren. And Kirby was off at college, and she sent him $2 one time and said, go to Dairy Queen and get you a hamburger. And that's all she had to send. So she was just a wonderful person. I don't know if her name was called, but this was her church home when she died. And the weekend that she died, she already had her offering envelope made out with her tithe in it. And I brought it to church on Sunday. And there's just such sweet memories of the Christian way that I was brought up.
Amen.
And thankful that I had all of them in my life.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Betty. Louise?
I just wanted to tell each and every one of you how blessed I've been through this church. It has been such a pleasure to be a part of this church. I've been here since Cradle Row. But also I've been blessed with good parents. My mother and my father just been wonderful examples. I am so blessed and honored to have a mother that had set such a good example for us, that she loved the Lord. She taught Sunday school for 60 years plus in this church, and she has been such an example for me. And I am so blessed that the Lord gave me such good parents. I really am pleased. And I am also, I just want to share the last moments of her life. When I was standing over her bed, she was in a coma, a semi-coma. And when she was first opened her eyes for the first time in about 2 days, and just a biggest smile came over her face, and she looked up in the ceiling, and she started reaching up like this and just smiling, and then just passed away.
Amen.
So that's more of assurance that I know exactly where she is.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. When we get to heaven, we're going to know exactly what was transpiring in that moment. I just think people are just in that transitional moment. And I don't know. I don't want to go on and on. But that's such a blessing. And they're right in the presence of the Lord, entering in. Stacy.
I lost my father May 1st. And there's just people in this world that just totally make a mark. And this man made a mark. And I'll miss him dearly. Mm. But just like God, he makes a mark. He makes a mark in our heart. All I know is that I'll miss my dad. and he has influenced a lot of people. This world will not be the same without him, but it'll be different. It won't be the same.
Thank you for remembering your father. Praise the Lord, Debbie.
Well, first of all, I want to say that to Martha and Bradley and the whole family that Jody made a big impact on me. She was an example. And I'll tell you what Tyler said just the other day. I saw on Facebook that someone had said we need to be praying for Jody and the family. And so I kind of thought, well, something's, you know, going on. Took a turn for the worst or whatever. And so I told Tyler, I said, baby, we need to be praying for Miss Jody. And so he looked at me and he said, you know, Mama, even if she does go to heaven, he said, her work's not through on this earth. He said, because I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, she taught us never give up, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just, children see things in such a different light. And my mother passed away in 96. Her name was Dorothy Wright. And she's the one that taught all of us, all four of my, well, three of my siblings and myself, about Jesus. And we had the kind of a bittersweet time with her when she went to be with the Lord. We all surrounded her bed, and it was so precious because she had her oxygen on, and she started feeling around on the bed, and then she started trying to get out of the bed. And I said, Mama, where are you going? She said, heaven. It was just like, you know.
Yeah.
So
amen.
Anyway,
amen. Thank you.
Families are in my prayers.
Thank you. And we have stories to tell, and we need to keep telling those stories from generation to generation. People that have influenced our lives, that we praise God, the Lord brought them into our life. Yes, family, but friends, people we know, people that we are, that have touched us in a way. Never forget, not long after I'd become your pastor, that I was taking a trip with the senior adults out to the lakes to Gilbert and Marie Sanders. I don't know if y'all remember them. If you do, raise your hand. So, a few of y'all, anyway. So we're headed out to the lake, and on the way, I had to come back early. And one of our men, Cecil Henson, was going to drive back with me. He said he wanted to come back early, too. And so we were driving back through Newton, and I was going a little fast. And it was a speed trap. That's what it was. No. So I was driving a little fast through Newton. They pulled me over. And Cecil was sitting there, and I said, well, just wait one moment. And I walked back there. I didn't want to reveal that I was a pastor. It's not the time to say, yeah, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church. So I went back there to, you know, just take my ticket, keep the, you know, words simple and few. And as I was standing there, here comes Cecil out of the car, walking slowly. Now, he's with Jesus. I called his name earlier, okay? And his daughter was in the early service. I told this story. So he walks out by the car, and he gets up close to the officer there, and he says, pointing at me, he says, you know who he is? Like I was some kind of celebrity or something, you know? Please, don't tell him who I am. My name is Joe Worley. That's it. I don't have a job. In that moment, I was tarnishing the reputation of our church here. So he went ahead and told him, you know, he came out with it. You know, he's the pastor, like that officer was going to say, oh, really? Well, we just don't give preachers tickets. So I wanted him to stop it immediately. So he didn't. But I took my ticket, and we got back in the car. And I just wish that we could have gotten in that car and drove home and not anything said. And he just sort of looked over at me and said, you know, preacher, he said, I won't tell anybody. I don't think we were in Groves 5 minutes before. I knew I probably ought to come out with it, you know, because eventually it would. That's how it happens. He's going to dismiss that ticket for me. Now I think of Dorothy Faye. And Dorothy Faye, most of you probably don't know her, but she lived most of her life in her bed. She wrote, she prayed, she encouraged, she believed in what God was doing here. She always knew when I was at the office because she lived just across the street, and her bed was situated in such a way where she could look out the window, and she knew. She could, I mean, I don't know if the deacons actually hired her to keep up with how the staff came to work or not. She was a precious saint. And students, she left thousands of dollars to this church so that when you graduate from high school, there would be a scholarship for you. By and large, she was the one. There have been many to give, but she doesn't have any more family alive. But that's what she did. And you might not know that, but I just thought I'd tell you. Because she's blessed now for several years, so many. Maybe there's someone else that you'd like to just at least call out their name. You could just stand. You can just, in fact, just call out their name from where you are. Just, well, you, if you're going to tell a story, you got to go to the microphone. Because it's being recorded. And so, but if you just want to yell out a name, we'll let you do that from your pew.
My dad lost his leg. His name was Ted Gottlob. When I was 18 years old. And my mother died. He was 67. And my mother died when she was 65, which I'm fixing to be, 3 years later. And when she was dying on her deathbed, my sister and I were in, like Louise's mother, she had been in a coma for a couple of days. And my sister and I were there at her. And the reason I'm saying this is, you know, the Lord promises that we're going to be like brand new creatures. And everything's going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we were both sitting on each side of the bed with her. And all of a sudden, she just looked in the corner over there and she said, oh, he's got two legs. And I just know my dad came and got her.
Wow. You know,
with two legs, not one.
Amen, Debbie.
I lost my mom, my dad first. But the neat thing about it, he was like 85 years old, but he became a Christian when he was 83.
Wow. Amen.
So I know he's in heaven. And then I lost my mom. And then this week, I lost the lady that became my mom. And she passed away Thursday.
Oh, wow.
But you know the neatest thing is, I know they're having one resurrection morning.
Amen. 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 All right, Bert.
My wife, Mary, and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary the last day of July. We had about 17 of our grandchildren and family out on the beach highway at a restaurant. The next morning, she suffered what was to be a fatal stroke and heart attack 5 days later. But I told Brother Charles quite some time before that, that we were sitting out on the porch one night and the subject came out of nowhere. But we got to talking about hurt feelings and hard feelings. And while we were out there, we didn't name off any, but we just agreed that we had no more hard feelings. We had nothing ill against anyone or each other. And it's a very pleasant, very easy thing to do.
Amen.
And I would like to suggest to anyone that's in here that if they have any hard feelings against someone, some hurt feelings, take care of it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen the next day. I think that this was a God thing that caused this subject to come up. And we were doing fine. We weren't having any problems. But we over the years, 50 years, you have problems. I don't care what you say. Mm-hmm. You have problems of some kind. And we dearly loved each other, and she dearly loved the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And as our family stood around her bed that last day, I told our grandchildren to create good memories. Not just with each other, but we need to create good memories with the Lord. Because those that we leave when we go are going to have something to lean on. And starting with remembering the relationship with the Lord they had is the first place to start.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bart.
And I appreciate, my family appreciates the prayers and uplifting that we were given during these past few months.
Thank you. Thank you. Leticia.
In 1991, my cousin passed away. He was 16. And that was a time for me that really opened my eyes. But at this time, I'd like for everyone to remember his parents, because they do not have any faith. They do not know God at all. It was an eye-opening for me to not want to question, but just to know that it was time that God wanted him. But I do pray for my aunt and uncle.
Yes. Yes, remember them. Sometimes these times, they cause us to grow in our faith. And other times we question, and some even might abandon their faith. And so let's be sensitive to this and realize that God loves us, wants to draw us close to himself. Jean?
My dad, John Godwin, went to be with the Lord right before Christmas, 1997. And I don't like to say that I lost him, because I know where he is. Amen. And if you know where something is, it's not lost. But he was such a kind, gentle, godly example as a father that I had no problem transferring that to my Heavenly Father. And having complete trust, and that he has what's best for me. And just that whole fatherly figure was such a perfect example that it's been easy for me to trust God. And I just appreciate that in him. And then for Justin and Martha and Bradley and just the whole family, anybody that has watched this two-year journey with them has seen just the growth and the way that God has carried them through. There's no other explanation for that testimony that God does want to provide for you, and God does want to carry you through, and he'll do it. There's no way these people could be sitting in church this morning if they didn't have God and know that they can count on him, and whatever is going on and whatever the reason is, that they trust him and they know that he's going to do what's best for them and the whole situation.
Amen. You know, if there wasn't good news, then we would leave here, like today, we would leave here utterly depressed. This is not the purpose of this worship time. It's to encounter our God and realize the good news we have in Christ in the midst of all the challenges that we face as we go through the loss of loved ones and friends. That God is faithful. He's with us. You have a scripture you'd like to read?
Yeah. In Sunday school this morning, we got to share, and Justin was in our class this morning, and we got to share about things that we have learned about God through Jody and through her life and through the circumstances of the past 2 years, and then finally, you know, when God took her home. And something that has God really impressed upon me was that, you know, he did say that in this world we would have trouble, and we can't be spiritual enough, and we can't be connected with him enough to be immune to those troubles, and that it's the world's going to look to us to see how we take it now, because the world's going to expect us to fall apart and going to expect our faith to slack off. But it's going to be through how we show the world that God is faithful. That's what they're going to see. And I thought of Hebrews when it talks about all of the prophets that went before that lived through faith, and the chapter 11 talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. And I don't know if everybody realizes this, but none of these people actually saw on earth what was promised to them. I'm just going to read a few verses. Hebrews 11:13, it says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them."
Amen.
And I have one other verse that's kind of a challenge for all of us, and it's Hebrews 7:12, and it says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised."
Amen. Thank you. Great passages.
I think possibly that I am the matriarch of the family. And I'm not really too sure what I want to say except to say
that. I just saw the family kneel when they saw that.
But I seriously, absolutely thought that God was going to miraculously heal Jody. I thought with all my heart that she, up until her very last breath, I thought that she was going to rise from that bed and be perfectly, perfectly whole, like the Bible talks about the many people that Jesus healed as he walked on earth. But he didn't heal everybody. And Jody has been such a shining star, just such a, it just seems like such a gifted life, that whatever she touched or whoever she touched, it stuck. I don't think that she ever met anybody that she didn't impact. And say that about her life, that she was here for a purpose and accomplished a wonderful, wonderful purpose, even though the world is full of bad things, and cancer is a bad, bad thing, and it destroys, and God, that's not God's original purpose that people die that way. But Jody did live life to the fullest, and I thought so significantly when Justin and Martha decided that in lieu of flowers for her service, that people would donate to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions, because she spent a summer in Africa as a foreign missionary and had such a mission heart. And then the other place was the Care and Prayer Ministry in Nederland, because they had a program where they prepared people to get their GEDs. And while she was at A&M, that was one of her things that she did. She taught a class, prepared people to get their GED. And her plan was that when the little yellow house, excuse me, the little yellow house over on Howe, she wanted to make that a little school to prepare people to get their GED. So I thought it's just so appropriate that that's the things that they selected to honor her life. So, and I just wanted to say also, and I guess maybe I could just talk on and on and on, because there's a million Jody stories. And if you see me coming, you're probably going to hear one of them, because they are good. And you can ask me and I'll tell you one. But my prayer is that Jody's death will have a lasting impact on not only my own grandchildren, that some of them are a little off track here and there, but that this would not be a temporary fix, that this would be a permanent transference of their loyalties to the Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the Sustainer of life, the Victor in all of this, Lord. And as Jesus opened up his arms to welcome Jody in, Lord, I know he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." So.
Amen. Amen. I want to lead us in a prayer of commitment right now. In fact, I want to challenge you to take this life seriously, because eternity is real. And when you step from this life to the next, your belief in Jesus will determine your destiny. That's what the Word of God says. That's not an idea, suggestion. I just came back from a part of the world where all kinds of confused people in religion. And everybody's trying to get to heaven in their own kind of way. But I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get there is through Jesus. It's the only way. And I know that that's the heart of so many of you. You're praying for your grandchildren. You preach it, sister. You're praying for your family member. You're praying for your friend. I know the heart of Justin and Jody was that at this time could glorify the Heavenly Father and that you would come to faith, or that anybody would be encouraged in their faith to go further. God is not abandoned. Sometimes there is a healing. Sometimes there's not. But it's not because we didn't have enough faith. Somebody tells you that, just tell them that you got it all wrong, buddy. You got it all wrong. Don't try to take advantage of me at this moment. It's not because of a lack of faith. God is good. He's gracious. And the great miracle of heaven is that God would reach down out of heaven and try to rescue our lost souls. And he did this through his son, Jesus Christ. The greatest love ever demonstrated was through Jesus. God did that. The Heavenly Father sent his son to die for us. And the fact is that if you believe in this Jesus, you will be born again. You will be sealed for all eternity. Listen, just go ahead and believe. You don't even have to understand all those things. We'll teach you about it all later, okay? I didn't understand anything. Just believe. We'll get you caught up on what it's all about, okay? Today, you need to believe. Don't you think for a moment that you have an extra day. And young people, don't think just because you're young that, you know, hey, you just have a guarantee for another 50 years. It's no guarantee. Life is short no matter how long you live it. And today, you can confess Jesus as your Savior. If you want to make that commitment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to get up and come down the aisle, but after the service, I'm going to ask you to grab Pat, me, Charles, Brady, one of us, and say, Guy, and say, hey, listen, that's the decision I made this morning. I'm believing in Jesus for my salvation today. If you're here today and you know that you've been walking away from the Lord, listen. We've heard the stories of many people. We're all going to die. But if you're in Christ, you will live. And you will live like you've never lived before. Take another step in your Christian pilgrimage and journey. Draw close to the Lord because He wants to draw close to you. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste the testimony of a friend or a family member or someone that spoke truth to your life, and you heard it, and it touched your heart, and you felt the pull of heaven, but you walked away from it, and you filled your life with everything else. But the pull of heaven is now strong upon your life again. Just hear what the Lord has to say. I'm going to pray for you. And then I want us to conclude our service with a video that by a man by the name of Whitney Phelps, and it's called Go Down Death. And you listen to that at the end of this time. Father, there are those here this morning that have been struggling now. Just hearing these stories this morning. They've been doing some soul searching. They've been really looking deep into their heart. And they're realizing that they really need you. And that you love them. And your love is, it's piercing their heart. And you're shouting at them from heaven. And you've gotten their attention, and Lord, right now, they've never been more willing now to open and yield their heart to you than they are at this moment. Lord, save them by your grace and mercy. By your mercy, Lord God, just reach into their life as they cry out to you in the stillness of this moment, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, as they talk with you and they cry out from their heart this morning. Lord God, save them in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those here today that they're your child. They've cried out to you. They know you. There's no doubt there. But Lord, they've gotten away. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that they too would hear the shout of heaven, that you have called them to be children and not to live as people who have no regard for who you are. That they have a Heavenly Father that knows about them, knows them by name, knows what they've been doing, know what they're up to. Lord, you know. And that your purpose and your desire for them is to live a whole different level of life. But Lord God, they've been stuck. The choices made have brought them to places, Lord, that they never thought they'd be, but they're there. And so, Lord God, set them free in Jesus' name. Lord God, that they would experience the abundant life that only you can give. And so I pray now that you would set them free in Jesus' name. Our hearts are open to you now as we conclude this service. Speak to us, O Lord, in Jesus' name.
Listen now and enjoy his compelling interpretation of James Weldon Johnson's classic poem, Go Down Death.
Weep not. Weep not. She is not dead. She is resting in the bosom of Jesus. Heartbroken husband, weep no more. Grief-stricken son, weep no more. She only just gone on. Day before yesterday morning, God was looking down from his great high heaven, looking down on all his children, and his eye fell on Sister Caroline, tossing on her bed of pain. And God's big heart was touched with pity, with everlasting pity. And God sat back on his throne, and he commanded that tall, bright angel standing at his right hand, "Call me death." And that tall, bright angel cried in a voice like a clap of thunder, "Call death! Call death!" And the echo sounded down the streets of heaven till it reached away back to that shadowy place where death waits with his pale white horses. And death heard the summons, and he leaped on his fastest horse, pale as a sheet in the moonlight. Up the golden street, death galloped. And the hooves of his horses struck fire from the goal, but they didn't make no sound. Up death rode to the great white throne and waited for God's command. And God said, "Go down, death. Go down, down in Yamacraw and find Sister Caroline. She's borne the burden in the heat of the day. She's labored long in my vineyard, and she's tired, she's weary. Go down, death, and bring her to me." And death didn't say a word, but he loosened the reins on his pale white horse, and he clamped the spurs to his bloodless sides, and out and down he rode through heaven's pearly gates, past suns and moons and stars. On death road, leaving the lightning flash behind, straight down he came. And while we were watching round her bed, she turned her eyes and looked away. She saw what we couldn't see. She saw old death. She saw old death coming like a falling star, but death didn't frighten Sister Caroline. He looked to her like a welcome friend, and she whispered to us, "I'm going on." And she smiled and closed her eyes, and death took her up like a baby, and she lay in his icy arms, but she didn't feel no chill. And death began to ride again, up beyond the evening star, into the glittering light of glory, onto the great white throne. And there he laid Sister Caroline on the loving breast of Jesus. And Jesus took his own hand and wiped away her tears, and he smoothed the furrows from her face, and the angel sang a little song, and Jesus rocked her in his arms and kept a saying, take your rest, take your rest, weep not, she is not dead, she is asleep. She is resting in the bosom of Jesus.